Hey guys, it's time for another podcast. And once again, I just want to say how much I appreciate the reviews and ratings you guys have left on iTunes in your respective iTunes sites. Last episode, I relayed how I was kind of confused as to why there were different reviews on different iTunes sites. But JC told me that's because there are different iTunes in each country. It's too bad because I wish it could all be consolidated under one iTunes banner, and then you can read all the reviews in at one go. But I have to keep reminding myself that's not the important thing. The important thing is the content of each episode. And in regards to the reviews, I do want to make mention and thank once again Kelly, Ian, Pete, and now Elliot for their wonderful reviews on the Canadian iTunes site. Also, someone named I Hear Sloan regarding the Patrick Pentland podcast. Thanks. Robin, Stacy, for your reviews as well. And Stacy, I did end up answering questions on Twitter because Stacy was wondering if I would answer people's questions. I answered people's questions on Twitter when I had a free hour last week, and it went over very well. And I think I'm going to do it again. So I hope that answers your question. There are other people in other countries who've left reviews, and I can't go through country by country. It's going to take a long time, but I want to mention Bent Gran and Barbecue Beaver in Sweden, Xpar, Wack and Witness, and Joshi078 in Germany, and someone named Kellers10 in Switzerland. Thank you very much, guys. I'm really glad everyone's digging the podcast, and I love the reviews you guys are leaving. They're great, and it just makes us, Nick and I, do more work for the podcast. And this week's episode is a fun one. This week's episode, the guest is Wade McNeil. Wade McNeil was the guitarist in Alexis on Fire, a band that is no more, and a band I met 6 years ago while out on tour. And I got along so well with all the guys in the band. And now when I bump into them, it pretty much sounds like this week's podcast. And as you'll hear the explanation, this episode is really Wade's second appearance on the podcast. But due to technical difficulties, the first one got ruined. You'll hear the whole explanation very soon. But 15 minutes before he arrived for this upcoming one, my new computer just cacked out on me, and I was forced to do the podcast on my old computer. And you can't really, I hope you can't really hear it, but I did the whole podcast not knowing if my new computer had erased all my files before I got a chance to back them up. In the end, everything turned out fine, and as you'll hear, I think the podcast turned out great. Once again, thank you to Blue Mic Microphones for your Yeti mics. We couldn't do the podcast without them. And thanks to Skull Candy Headphones. All right, the official Danko Jones podcast starts now.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
I don't know. Wade McNeil is here with us. Me and Nick's here. Wade has become the curse of the podcast off the mic. There's so much drama with Wade.
Wade, you are to us what periods are to women.
Just like come show up once a month. Mess, I don't even want to keep going with this. I guess it's safe to say Danko Jones is tripping balls.
Yeah, basically, Wade has seen me at my worst.
You're really stressed out today.
Around Wade, like, you know, when other people come here, I'm like cool, calm, and collected. Mm-hmm. They sit down, I give them a nice coffee, a drink, we start the podcast, it goes smoothly, and we shake hands and we part. When Wade McNeil comes here, I am a little kid with a zine and a tape recorder with no batteries, and everything fucks up.
And sweatpants.
What happened was Wade came here 2 months ago. He did the podcast, and everything was great, perfect. I was watching the waves. He left. I went to listen to it, and it was all reverbed out, and I had a 12-hour... breakdown, going back and forth with our webmaster and trying to salvage the podcast. And I had to, it took me, like I was saying off the mic, 20 minutes to build up the courage to call Wade and tell him that the podcast was unsalvageable.
Did you have to rub one out to relax beforehand?
What's up with periods and rubbing shit out
today? I'm working blue today.
Yeah,
I decided. I made a point to. I'm working blue. I'm trying to turn off all of your. First of all, if any listeners here got a problem with, you know, menstruation or, you know, pleasure of yourself, find another podcast. I think I can speak for the whole Danko Jones family. And I.
What you're saying is you want to shift this into a real kind of get her done.
Let's get type. Dirty. Well, no, let's. It doesn't need to be like Larry the Cable Guy, but I mean, let's make every episode of this podcast like a really long version of that joke, The Aristocrats, which, if you haven't heard, is very filthy. And am I ruining the podcast?
Yeah, you're basically shitting on the podcast, and it started off on a bad note because the story isn't over.
Starting again?
Yeah. So basically, what I did was the next day. Literally 24 hours after I called Wade and said that the podcast was a flop. But the actual content in the podcast was great. I went down to the Apple store and I bought a new computer. I bought a new hub. I bought this. I bought that. I got the whole works. Wade called me this morning. He's on his way. Nick was texting me. He's late, as usual. And see how I slipped that in?
7 minutes.
Sidebar.
Right before I went downstairs to greet the two of them, my computer wouldn't turn on. So I went through the whole thing with Wade before we started recording. So hopefully this will be. Now I can't even talk. Will be good.
Send your thesauruses to
please.
www.
So Wade, how's it going, man? Street. Sorry about all this. Fucking bullshit. I've been on Apple Care before we started the mic for like 15 minutes.
How were they? The Genius Bar on the phone.
They were great. They're always good, man.
What are they nice?
I've given them a lot of money over the years. They treat me just fine.
You're like an investor.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
You know, I think this all might have a little something to do with me.
I think so, man.
2012 isn't really working out for me so far.
Oh, no.
Really?
You know, I think bad luck. I'm a pretty glass half full kind of guy, but the Mayan calendar is bringing me down.
It's fucking you up. Maybe you were Mayan in a past life.
Mm-hmm. It's not you. It's Mayan. So, what's going wrong?
What's going wrong,
Wade?
That's my question to you. But so, I apologized to Wade about 10 times before we started the mics. Before we turn them on, I'm apologizing to him on the podcast now. I am very sorry for wasting your time. This is not how I like doing things. I've been running around this place here like a soccer mom trying to get everything done.
You are flustered. I don't know if you can hear it. I don't know if you can hear it on the internet right now, but you are flustered.
This is not even the most flustered I've seen him. I've actually... The whole period of time when the last podcast went wrong and just the texts that I got... Those were flustered.
Those were fucking flustered. I have a tendency to be really hard on myself when shit doesn't go right. And the kind of hard where you just sit in a corner and stare at the wall for like 2 hours.
Wade and I are sharing a mic, by the way. It's really fun.
Yeah, that's what it's come down to.
But
and it has nothing to do with the Yeti Blue mics at all.
No, it's a great Yeti Blue
we're using here.
Please, but send more.
There's a, I mean, not to insult Wade, but there's, you know, part of the podcast audience that...
Sounds like I'm going to get insulted here.
Doesn't know.
With like a lead up like that?
Yeah, that's quite the way to preface it.
There's a few people who aren't familiar with Wade McNeil, and let's introduce Wade. Wade McNeil from, oh my God, where do we start? Let's start with Black Lungs. The singer, guitarist from Black Lungs, guitarist of Alexis on Fire, now the lead singer for Gallows. And can I mention the other project?
Yeah, I'm doing this other record right now with Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Soundclash called Dead Coast.
Right.
And we're in the studio like right now. I'll be in the studio later today working on that.
We kind of ran into you a few days ago while you were on a break. from the studio with you and Jay.
Yeah, I've been taking a few too many breaks, like in the location, incredibly secret location, where I practice and Danko practices.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Toronto hits get made.
Can I guess where it is?
Sure, go ahead.
CN Tower rotating restaurant back room.
You know, when I said you could guess, I didn't think you were going to get it right. Well, if you want to come see us practice, come say hello at the rotating restaurant.
Yeah.
$16 shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Can't beat it. So anyways, we're both practicing this like industrial kind of area, and there's one coffee shop that's around there.
Yeah, this bakery.
And when we started this record, myself, Jay, and the producer, Steven, all started getting these custard donuts. I was probably getting one there when I saw you.
Okay.
And I kind of think my bad luck has been stemming from those donuts, to be honest. It's the one thing in my life that I've changed, eating these kind of obscene Portuguese donuts every day when we're at the studio. And aside from, like, things going really tough with the record, the podcast messing up.
Right. Total shit fest.
There's been some weird things happening, some bad luck, you know, and I think especially me having ninth grade acne like crazy.
Okay? I don't see it.
So I don't see it now because it's going away because I've stopped eating these donuts.
Uh-huh.
But, like, it's getting to a I need to reassess my life type situation where I'm just like, what's going on with my face? Is that a boil under my eyeball?
As a lead singer now, you gotta watch that stuff.
Yeah,
No, dude, the more acne, the better. They'll be like, yo, the singer with acne is crazy, man. Like, you don't even need to move.
And then I met Jay. You were there with Jay Malinowski,
With Adam Willard.
Adam Willard and JC. We were taking a break from basically what happens, and I don't know if people can tell, but my voice is still kind of really broken. Adam lives in Los Angeles, where you were a week ago or last night. Okay.
Yeah.
He lives in LA and he's in our band, and when he flies over here to rehearse and jam and write. And so when he is here, we do intense. Because we have to. Intense rehearsals and writing sessions that go on for hours and hours. I end up singing for longer than I should. And afterwards, I don't have a proper voice. So right. I don't know if people can tell it's strained. But anyways, we were there on a break.
I think after listening to me talk, people...
You
just sound like honey.
Yeah, is this your voice all the time? Or
this is it. Imagine me as a baby saying my first word.
Really?
Talking like this.
Your baby Marvin from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It works. That's me. It definitely works. And then when we bumped into Jay and you, Jay was like, hey, because he's the singer of Bedouin Soundclash. We went on tour with Bedouin Soundclash in 2006. He goes, I haven't seen you since the Go-Go tour. Go-Go Bordello was the other band on the tour. And I remember thinking that after we met, and I go, he just called our tour the Go-Go tour. He didn't call it the Danko tour. It's a fucking Danko tour.
Oh, boy.
I got beef with Jay now.
Beef.
Or not.
Okay.
Anyways, you know how's it going with Jay?
You got over that beef really quick.
You do.
Yeah.
So how's it going with the Dead Coast?
It's going
side
good.
Project?
The two of us are just making this record, so it's kind of different for both of us in that we're not rehearsing with a band, you know, like every day. We're writing these songs ourselves and kind of like building them up.
Both singing,
singing, yeah. It's like either one of us playing piano or guitar or we're just kind of building this record right now, and I think we'll.
In what style, like, so people can look forward to something?
I think, you know, for what we're excited to do is something that's, like, very different from what both of us have ever done, you know? And I think we want to try and take, like, to make it, like, really, really simple, I think we want to make it, like, punk rock Beach Boys.
Oh.
And have these, like, just big kind of, like, dreamy harmonies on everything and, like, just, like us both singing together all the time, you know? And but making it this kind of like, you know, back and forth and
wow.
And like kind of smashy percussion, because we're gonna try and make a nice sounding record, but just where I think we both come from and the music we like, it's going to sound a little bit, I don't think we won't be able to have certain like edgy parts of it, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a good tag.
So
punk rock Beach Boys, that gets my ears up.
With Alexis on Fire, it was like also sort of a back and forth singing wise going.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen.
So,
aha. Uh-huh. But
is
it
that
worked.
Something that is a sound you really like the vocal back and forth. I know that's probably going to be a totally different type of thing, but at the same time, it's kind of an interesting thematic.
Yeah, I think, thing. I don't know. I've never really given it much thought, but yeah, I guess that's something that I've always kind of been involved with. I think, yeah, just something that's like, you know, there's a lot of, maybe it's just more of a, you know, old, like, just an older approach to making music, you know, where it's like, you know, there's those Sam Cooke songs where it's just like, there's just guys singing like the whole right. thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And there's like one voice will probably take the focal point on certain stuff, but I think we'll mm-hmm. always be singing together, you know? And like, you listen to that stuff, you listen to like The Band mm-hmm. or something like that, and they're just all
vocal
singing,
driven.
You know, together all the time.
Right. Yeah, I got
and
you.
I think it's like an interesting thing to, you know, try and like, you know, write some songs or like telling these stories for, you know, Jay and I have been talking about doing this band for years, and it kind of finally worked out timing wise.
Right. So how is it with Gallows? Is it just you guys are on a break or?
Cause yeah, I mean,
Gallows is your band, your full time band.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, like the boys are working on a record, and we're all split up, kind of like you were saying. A few of the guys are in California.
Yeah.
A few of the guys are in London, and I'm here. So everyone's kind of working on stuff and having band practice over email, which is incredibly frustrating, but we're all going to get in a room and record the record like in their hometown in
right.
May in Watford.
We went through this whole thing where, you know, we all talked about how we met each other and all that thing. I don't know if we should bring all that up, but
the radio audience can't see. But Wade and I just exchanged a look.
Rolled your eyes?
No, we kind of looked and just said,
well, just because there was
some, right?
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's
talk about it.
Well, we met each other for the first time in 2006 when you were in Alexis on Fire. You guys were on tour. And I think we met in Gothenburg on that, as Jay Malinowski puts it, Go-Go Bordello tour.
Go-Go Bordello presents Danko Jones.
Yeah, as headliner.
Google Bordello featuring Google Bordello featuring Danko Jones.
Yeah, basically. And I ended up talking to George in Dallas for most of the time you guys hung out. And at the end of the night, you just said, "Hey, it's cool. See you." I swear.
First
to God,
of all,
like
great
that.
Impression of my voice.
I can't even do it, but it's pretty raspy.
Here's what I remember about that day. I woke up. We had our bus parked in Gothenburg
mm-hmm.
next to everyone else's buses. And I'm like, oh, this is convenient.
Right.
I'm getting up, walking down the stairs. European buses are like really weird ragtag death mobiles. Mm. So I just cut my foot brutally on this piece of sharp metal on the stairs. Just a rogue piece of sharp metal. Sticking out, you know, naturally
Ouch.
We're nowhere, so I just, like, wrap my foot up with tape and a sock and shove it in a boot. And,
okay, so that's,
number one. I remember that.
Okay.
I remember going to get pizza with the drummer, Pat, of Bedouin, and, like, you know, pizza, I use pizza very loosely.
Right.
When you're in Europe, like,
Euro
I feel like
pizza.
I feel like it was, you know, like, the sauce was blue.
Right.
And, you know, there was like a whole fish on top of it
yeah.
and, you know, goat cheese.
Yeah, I don't
cheese.
Want to taste
like,
people's pizza, but come on.
Like
here
if, you're
and
if you're explaining yeah. pizza to aliens, you know, so I had that. And then you covered a Misfit song that night.
We did. Yeah, yeah. We did Hollywood Babylon.
Nice. And?
Oh, yeah, we hardly ever do covers, but we did that.
Have you covered any other Misfit songs ever?
We were like, fuck, Alexis is here. Let's show him his fucking punk rock.
No, that's funny.
Actually, we did that because we were getting ready to do it with John Garcia of Caius, or now if Caius Lives, because he wanted to do that song. And that's my favorite Misfit song. It was Hollywood Babylon.
It's a good one.
It's my favorite
one.
It's
a solid one.
Yeah.
I remember I first heard it, and I was like, yo, that told a story.
Well, we've talked about this before, I
yeah,
think,
that's
about how you are under the impression every musician has it out for you.
Oh yeah, well, that was what we
I'm paraphrasing.
That was what he came out of the last podcast thinking, because the last podcast you were like, I forgot. You were totally like, okay, I thought you hated me, and I thought these other guys at the festival hated me. You basically thought the whole festival wanted to kill you. Plus, you
what
had that
festival?
Story
where
you met.
Oh, well, that's because George, this is like a story that not a lot of people know outside of Toronto, but when Alexis were just getting started and their name was starting to get out there.
Starting to ring out.
Yeah, they did a show at the big radio station in town called The Edge, 102.1.
This is a long time ago. So, 2002. I mean, podcasts didn't exist, and there was a thing called the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could access it without satellites.
And at the time, there was a cutout of myself at the station with a big guitar, kind of like
a wrestler.
Yeah, right. And George grabbed it while you guys were playing a song and started singing to it,
brought it outside onto Yonge Street, serenading
right.
The Danko Jones cutout.
Right, now you can
as
take
you
it,
do.
You
right.
can take it two ways. You could say, "Hey, you know, he's just doing his stage performance," or you could say, "Sometimes I'm a glasses half empty guy. It's like this motherfucker's too fucking cold and we got beef." But it wasn't really like that in my head. I was all cool with it, but I thought that you guys didn't know if I was cool with it when we met, or if you knew that I knew or whatever. And I personally didn't care. I just hoped that you guys were cool enough to be cool with us. I liked your band, and that's how it was. But it's the same way with when I first met Damien Abraham from Fucked Up. I was under the impression that he would totally hate our band, but then the opposite was true. So, you know, it's usually just all in my head. And for the last podcast, Patrick Pentland from Sloan was here, and I relayed a story to him about how I thought he hated me.
So,
and
you
he had
were
no
right.
idea where that was. He had no idea where that was coming from. So that was that. And by the end of the day, after the show, all was good, and I think it's all been good since. Not that there was anything before that, but yeah, it's all cool.
So everybody's doing great.
Everyone's great.
Everyone's having so much. I think everybody hates me. It's horrible. In comedy, it's really bad. I don't like it.
Comedy's even probably
because
a little more biting.
You meet people as individuals, and you're kind of like, even if they are like good set man, you're like, that guy's lying.
Well, the thing is, comedians don't have most of the time a following the way other bands do. Like, there's Chris Rock, and there's a whole bunch of people you don't know.
Yeah, but they have weird, I mean, small followings.
Yeah, but not like even
not massive.
Like,
you know, I who's mean, the most popular guy right now? Tosh. Daniel Tosh.
Who?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Is that Bob Marley's?
I am aware of him.
Or Peter Tosh's son?
Yeah, it's Peter Tosh's son.
He does radical reggae
comedy. He tours with Lee Scratch Perry's nephew
as
an opener.
Little and, Scratch.
Yeah, and sometimes Ziggy Marley will be in the audience at the shows. And no, it's he's got that show Tosh 2.0. It's kind of like this insane clip show.
We talked about also how I am completely out of touch with a lot of facets in pop culture right now.
But anyway, he is very, very, very. It's the most popular show on Comedy Central. I don't know if my friend was right, but he told me that the ratings for it were like Colbert and David
Show really?
Combined.
Okay.
That's
I know who Colbert is.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's a start.
But anyways, I mean, did we cover the whole, like, Alexis and me and you kind of thing that we kind of talked about on the first podcast that no one will ever hear? I just want to recap that so
recap
we can move
it.
On.
Let's talk.
Well, because it's like Wade's second appearance on the podcast that nobody and
I know,
nobody
this is
knows.
So weird, right?
You're
it's
our
like
first
a do-over
recurring it. Guest. Like, you're actually becoming part of the podcast family, and people are only being introduced to you now.
Pretty soon, you'll be getting your very own blue mic in the mail.
I hope so.
Yeah. I ripped open a blue mic for Wade. Fresh, because I wanted everything to work out perfectly, and everything failed. And when you were pulling up in your car, and you saw me and Nick walking down the street, when you saw us, right before you rolled down your window and stopped, I was like, oh, fuck, this is gonna kill. This is killing me, man. This is killing me.
He was so sad.
You gotta relax.
And then you roll down your window and you're like, hey, man, where do I park? I'm like, oh, yeah, I just parked. And then you rolled it back up and started, oh, my God, this is fucking killing me, man. I don't know how I'm gonna break it to him. So that's what was going on.
I feel like you've really revealed to Wade that you're afraid of him.
I don't like coming off like an amateur doofus.
Yeah.
Doing this podcast. This is a serious thing, and I think so far we're doing a good job. We're gaining ground, but when Wade McNeil is anywhere in our vicinity, it just falls to pieces.
I liked at the beginning there was this huge build up about, you know, everything that happened and, you know, how you were bothered by it. And I think it really makes me sound nuts. It's great. like if this one doesn't work, I'm gonna come back here and I'm gonna slash up all your records.
You're gonna come here, knock on my door,
or shoot off your toe.
You're gonna try and slash my records, and I'm just gonna slash them before you get a chance.
Say, too bad, sorry, Wade. The podcast didn't work. I destroyed all my own music.
Yeah,
right. We fucked up the second podcast, so I burnt my masters.
Okay, you know what? This is starting to freak me out. Let's stop the podcast. Okay. I just want to check if it's working.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to stop it and check, and we're going to come back. Back.
So what was your childhood like?
It worked.
You can answer that seriously if you'd like.
I don't know, man. Everyone who gets into punk rock, there's something fishy in the back there. So
yeah,
you, me,
you go to the
Wade.
Fish store.
All right. So anyways, I checked the podcast and it's been a-okay. So I'm really happy about that. Whew. I was really freaking out actually. Yeah, Wade McNeil gets me all nervous now.
So you thought that they had beef with you, and then you met them at this festival. And
it wasn't a festival. It was a show.
Oh, I thought it was a festival.
Well, it was like a Vans Warped Tour thing. Okay. Not a Vans Warped thing. A Vans Eastpak Tour.
So you guys, bands. Did you think any of this? Like, what in your mind was what was Danko Jones to
you?
Can
I mention, hold on, it was a Vans Eastpak Tour, and we headlined that night? Go on.
Okay. What was Danko Jones to you at that time?
At that time, Danko Jones was a Toronto musician that was playing the show that I was going to see after eating that blue pizza.
right. Know? Yes.
And?
I think at that point I was probably pretty interested in having a cold beer.
Right.
And watching the rock and roll concert.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
So there was no, we're going to maybe pie this guy at the end of his set thing.
I'm going to go up there. I'm going to knock out Danko Jones. I'm going to say.
I think it was just
death
the fact
to
that
false.
Just rock. Canadian rock.
Death to false rock. You know that old saying?
Yes, I do.
Yep. And I'm going to slash the bass drum skin.
That's a great
with a knife.
That's a great tag for a
say. This show is over.
That would have been the best.
Bring back on Gogol Bordello. Eugene, come out here.
Oh, that's a podcast in itself.
Wasn't our last one the Unheard podcast? Wasn't there this like 30-minute discussion of not it being bad to like we gotta get over?
No, what happened was we did the podcast with Wade, and then we turned off the mics, and then we did another podcast worth of just discussing stuff off the mic.
We talked a lot
after.
We talked about Fucked Up for a really long time
because we all enjoy the band. We're big fans.
Yes.
Just found out Fucked Up are playing with Metallica, so that's great. Thank you. Great.
Maybe at this point, with all the things that have happened to Fucked Up since we last talked, maybe I want to talk about how they're so good and I'm so jealous of the output of music they do and the bands they play with that now I hate them.
It's come around. It's come around.
And then you see Jonah. He's dressed really well.
Yeah.
He's really friendly.
Uh-huh.
That just makes me sick.
Good looking.
He doesn't need healthy. A safety pin. Yeah. Yeah. He has a fitness blog.
Married.
Fitness blog.
The guy has a fitness blog.
Oh, yeah, he has a fitness blog.
Fucking guy. You know, it's just winning all kinds.
Just winning all kinds. And then you know what he's doing? He's like, yeah, I got to like go. You know, me and my wife are going to do this thing with our family. Then I got to like write my fitness blog. Then what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pop up to Montreal for a second, play a show with Career Suicide at a crust house.
Right.
And then just, you know, just back to, and then fucked up, going on tour with Metallica tomorrow.
He's really doing
just
it.
Doing
all.
Whatever. Yeah. Just doing whatever.
Doing whatever, and it's all good.
You know what I'm doing tomorrow? Hoping the soup kitchen takes me. Hoping the soup kitchen got a little extra soup, because I sleep in. I'm going to show up near the end of the line of that soup.
I told Jonah about the podcast.
Oh, and he'll be here.
And I go, hey, you know, I got a podcast. Maybe you might want to come down. And,
yeah.
And then when I go, yeah, I do it with Nick Flanagan. He kind of went, oh, that's when he did it, when I mentioned your name. So I feel good about yourself, soup kitchen guy.
That cred. Good, but not at the soup kitchen. I show up. I'm just like any of the other kids.
And what's even crazier about Fucked Up is, A, they chose that name and they're still everywhere. Because if we had had a meeting, if the three of us were in a band and we're like, okay, what are we going to call ourselves? And you came up with Fucked Up, I'd be like, are you out of your mind? We'll never get anywhere from a marketing standpoint. And then to top it all off, Damien Abraham, I think he's the first to say himself, not the most fit guy around. He's in a band with a guy.
He doesn't
with
a have
fitness
a fitness blog.
Yeah. Like they're in the same band. It's just this fucked up.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's just this crazy band that.
Also, Damien dresses like a 12-year-old skateboarder.
Right. Yeah.
Man, yeah.
Everything, just every piece of free clothing, every single thing.
Really?
Going just yeah. Streetwear.
Like sponsored.
Sponsored by so many streetwear companies. I love that guy. Yeah.
You gotta love that band. I love Fucked Up and the Frogs and the Boredoms and fucking.
Those are your bands?
Right now I'm going through a Jandek.
I don't really listen to Jandek, but I should listen to more Jandek. I've always wanted to listen to Jandek.
I'm going through a Jandek,
the Jandek
Boredoms.
I don't.
Jandek is, maybe you could explain Jandek well.
He's just this, I don't really know anything about him, and I don't think anyone else does.
That's sort of a thing.
Yeah, he's been putting out records on his own. He's just this one guy. He's been putting
like
out
hundreds of records.
Well, I think, I don't know. Maybe he's got like 50 or 100.
Yeah.
And he's just this dude who. And it's called Corewood Industries. Mm-hmm. It's his label or his company. And we did a video last year with Mike Watt was in it. Mm-hmm. And Watt was telling me about how he just finished playing with Jandek. He played with him.
Yeah, yeah.
He never plays out. But lately,
he's done some touring.
In the last few years, this guy, Jandek or whatever it is, has been.
I think there's a movie called Jandek on Corewood. That I have not seen.
I haven't even heard of that.
But he has a movie about it.
But anyways, he puts out these like albums of his own music, and it's an acquired taste.
Isn't it?
Kind of weird,
mellow,
really mellow, and just it's outsider music.
Yeah,
and you know whatever. But it's Jandek and the Boredoms
mm-hmm.
because when we're in a writing period right now, so we're writing, and the way we write songs, they're. Not very structured, but there's songs, you know, verses and choruses. I like listening to, like, loose music just to, like, when it's time to write and it's time to do it, it's fresh to me.
Do you know the Frogs, Wade?
I don't know them either.
The Frogs is really, really, really insane music. I've only listened to some of their stuff, and it's, like, it's from the 90s, I guess, late 90s, mid-90s.
Are they not around still?
They might. They're one of those bands that's probably still around. But
two brothers who are gay. That's how they build themselves. Two gay brothers. Jimmy Finnegan or...
I don't know the guy's name.
Yeah, it's something... It sounds like your last name, but not. And they just do these really super gay, as in homosexual folk songs.
Mm-hmm. There's a Smashing Pumpkins DVD that has this mini documentary on the Frogs in it for some reason. Also, the line, you know, in the Beck song, it goes, that was a good drum break.
That's the Frogs.
That's the Frogs.
That's the Frogs.
That's a frog sample.
And one of the guys was in a band with Kelly Deal, Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer from Smashing Pumpkins, and Sebastian Bach called The Last Hard Men. I've never heard it.
They're so crazy. I love it. And there's like this weird I love that world of inexplicable bands. That's something I can't get enough of either. Like, Moist Boys is kind of my favorite, which is another really weird band.
Love the Moist Boys.
It's like the guitarist from Ween and this one other guy who's in a
Dickie
band.
Moist.
Dickie Moist.
Well, I like the idea of, like, you know, Ween being like, this is just a little too out there for Ween. So,
yeah,
I'll probably start another project for this.
I mean, you know.
Do something weird.
I think it's more like the guitarist from Ween was like, Gene Ween is definitely comatose for the next couple months after tour because he is wiped, you know?
Well, it's just...
Because some of the songs are so close to Ween. Like, they have some country songs. But there's this... It's kind of harder than Ween, most of it. Like, mm-hmm. It's all, like... super digital sounding
thrashy
punk,
a bit
thrash or something like,
but with a drum machine,
yeah, it doesn't
and
make
a
any
different
sense.
Vocalist,
mm-hmm.
but who is it? It's Dean Ween is a great guitar player. He's a really great guitar player, and I would think that if you want to do something away from Ween, it would be more structured and more formal. That's what I would think, and that's the same reasoning why now that we're writing our new record, I'm listening to Jandek and the Boredoms and all that Sun Ra, and I'm just going through this crazy phase.
I'm interested to see how Sun Ra manifests itself on the new Danko Jones record.
It won't. It'll make all our songs more structured and harder and more precise. That's basically why.
Space Ghost Perp. Space Ghost Perp.
It'll definitely be about living on Earth.
Yeah, songs. Earth-based music.
Earth-based music. But that's just
Danko
what
Jones
I'm going
goes
through.
To Mars. The new album. Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Danko Jones, Space Trip. What are you writing about in your band, in the Dead Coast?
I think we're just trying to, you know, kind of give voice to all these stories and stuff like that have kind of just happened to us through touring, you know, like over all the years. And I think we've got kind of all these... You get a weird perspective on everything, and like you've kind of got all these things that you just kind of a list of like horrible and like profane and like great things that have happened to you, and I think maybe things you wouldn't necessarily want to talk about, you know, like in an interview or something that you would feel would be kind of like come across a little too harsh or a little too whatever, you know. And I think kind of trying to take some of those stories and make them kind of beautiful sounding, you know, and make them a little bit more poetic sounding. And I think that's what we're trying to do.
So sort of a Sunday morning coming down kind of vibe.
Sure,
sometimes.
Yeah.
And
I don't want it to be like, I don't mean like, oh, it's a very dark time for me, you know, like.
The echoes of the amplifiers going through my head.
Yeah, none of that.
That makes me think, like, for Gallows, are you in charge of the lyrics and the melodies and all that stuff as well?
Yeah, like 100%. But I think, you know, what I want to do with that and the stuff I like the most about, you know, punk and hardcore is just, like, it's just all payoff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want... You can try and, like, reinvent the wheel, and I have no interest in doing that. Whatsoever.
You don't want to be
fucked up. I can't believe what they're doing.
Okay. So anyway.
I just like, you know, like there's just all the bands that I love the most, all just try and play Ace of Spades faster and harder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Especially the band was doing something that was very, you know, trying to do something very dramatic and very experimental with their last record, and it took them forever to write. And, you know, they recorded all these gorgeous studios and got Garth Richards in to produce it. And it's just like, you know, like if I'm singing for the band, we're going to record it at their friend's house in the city they grew up in. You know what I mean? And just like
take it back.
Yeah, take it back. And it's like, I think
But subject matter is cool with them. Like you're not going to come in going, if I don't know what the subject matter was.
Well, I think
on
you know. I think
record.
they're like the one thing that people find really odd me joining the band is that, you know, they're such a British band, and having a singer that's not British is, you know, is what I think throws a lot of people for a loop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Being a band that has like had their last record be, you know, so British, like called Great Britain. You know, just about stuff that's going on in the UK and being this really nihilistic thing. Like, there's no way they would have released another record like that. You know what I mean? It's been done to the nth degree, and
right.
the point's been driven home. So, you know, regardless of what the band would have done, you know, whether it would have been me or not, you know, it wouldn't have gone in that direction.
Right.
And I think we've all, you know, we've all got a similar outlook on life, and we all kind of grew up doing the same things. And there's those, you know, dumb things we did when we were younger, and then that kind of warped our view on the world. And I think why we all are drawn to, you know, the music we are, and I think similar with the three of us even, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that are worldwide and universal about that kind of stuff, you know. And so, I don't know. I don't think it's odd at all.
You could also argue that, you know, if you're going to get a non-English singer for an English band, a Canadian is close enough. It's like
yeah. We are one of the colonies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I mentioned this on the failed podcast episode one, but when I
heretofore first to be referred to as the failed FP one.
Yeah. when I saw the band photo with you in the front the first time, when you guys made the announcement, I thought that was a great fit. We had played with Gallows at a festival, I think 2 years before, 2 years ago at a festival in Italy, I think, and it was us, them, and Valiant Thor.
And strong billing.
Yeah, it was a pretty good festival. I just thought, so I was familiar with the sound and the band and everything, but when I saw the band photo, I thought it was like, it was right. It looked great, you know, just as the photo, it made sense. And the fact that they were taking you from Alexis on Fire, it was this... It was kind of cool, you know. Maybe you are Canadian, but you're from a very well-respected band within that scene, and so it kind of makes sense.
And you know? I think this is something you said, like that Nick said on the last podcast, the failed podcast. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, I think people have a lot of ideas about, you know, like what punk or hardcore, or, you know, like Danko Jones or Alexa on Fire or Gallows or Brutal Knights or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, is right. You know, and a lot of people want to divide these things up, really. Like in a subcategories and mm-hmm. say, you know, none of those bands would fit together, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you said it's all music your parents would hate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I go. That's what, you know. I go. I still go by that. And yesterday when the Juno nominations were announced, I didn't know, but there's an adult alternative category. Did you
so
know that?
Crazy.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but so I never want to be nominated for that category. Ever.
So was that a crazy, crazy, crazy ass time when the Gallows thing got announced and the Alexis on Fire breakup thing got announced at the same time? Was that?
Yeah. How long was that window where you were doing, where you were in limbo?
I mean, things have been winding down with Alexis, like nothing had been happening for like a year, mm-hmm. you know? And it was the Gallows thing, you know, that when I got asked that kind of, you know, made us look at it and be like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? So it was you that the Gallows offer kickstarted the whole.
No, descent. What I'm not saying is I broke up the band.
Okay.
I'm definitely not saying that. Okay. We were, you know, we'd done our last about a week before we went into the studio to do the last recording that we did, Dog's Blood. Right. Dallas had quit. And then he said, I'll tour for the rest of the year, do the shows. I'm just not interested in doing this anymore.
And this was what year? This was 2009.
Yeah, this was like a year before we... This is like a year and a half before we made the announcement.
Okay.
So
right.
We got off tour, and then, you know, with all the, you know, best hopes of, like, trying to get a new guy.
Yeah.
And I, like, you know, went and wrote with a whole bunch of people stuff and worked on some stuff and was really gung-ho. The rest of the dudes kind of, you know, like... You know, as you get older and you're playing in a band, like, life catches up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, yes. like, kids and families and just, you know, mm-hmm. obligations that aren't you touring 12 months a year,
right.
you know,
come up. Skills that you learn go down the poop
Yeah, shoot. Absolutely. So, like, I mean, like, when, you know, like, I was, like, really gung-ho to get this going right away, and some of the other dudes just had stuff they needed to take care of.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, that kind of, I think, broke our stride a little bit, and then just kind of, you know... More and more time got away from us, and I think we were all starting to feel like it wasn't happening, you know? And when you start feeling like... And I was really starting to feel like we're not going to make our best record, you know, and it was a year later and we still hadn't found a dude to come in, like the right dude.
Fuck.
And, you know,
yeah,
it was a bummer, but I don't like, it just wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm. I told you this off the mic, and I guess since you brought it up on the podcast, I can tell the story now, but we played a festival together in Germany 2010, I believe.
Yeah.
You guys, us. It was a great lineup, too. I think Converge were
on Crowbar.
Crowbar. Yeah. Like, oh, that, there was that one with The Haunted, Converge, Crowbar, Flogging Molly, and Kylesa.
Yeah.
But there was another festival we played together with, I believe, NoFX, us, you got...
Hot Water.
Yeah, Hot Water Music was right across from us. And Dallas and... God, I forget his name. Your drummer...
Jordan. Ratbeard.
You guys came into our, those two guys came into our dressing room, and this is 2010. So this is 4 years since we first met. So we're all kind of like
chummy,
and so I was
Canadians
in a good,
abroad,
exactly.
Anybody.
And I was in a good mood, in a playful mood, I should say. And Dallas said something about, oh yeah, I got you on my iPod. I'm listening to you guys or something. I'm like, and then I started ripping on him, you know, just playfully ripping on him, and I said, oh, and then it led into me saying something like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to break out and go solo now? You think about with your city in color? And then he kind of, nothing, it just, things, you could feel in the room, it just went down, and then people just kept talking, then he left, and then Jordan said, yeah, I think it's winding down. Yeah, things are really going well for him. I think that's about it. And when he left, I remember JC just turning to me going, dude, why are you saying this shit to them, man? They're going... I felt so bad.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we'd met you that summer. And I looked at the schedule and I said, okay, we're going to meet them in 3 weeks at this festival with Converge and Haunted and Flogging Molly and all these bands. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to say anything, or it's all going to be cool. It'll be all good. And then we ended up hanging out the whole day. And by the end of the day, I was like, all right, cool. I think I made up for that fucking line I said. This kind of shit goes in my head all the time.
I don't know. Like, it is what it is, right?
So we knew about it,
too. It's obviously like a thing where, you know, it's hard to balance like that many things. He just wasn't into it anymore, and like you don't want to be in a band with a guy that doesn't want to be in the band.
Yeah, no, I.
You know,
I
it's like
yeah.
It's not good for touring. It's not good for the band. It's not good for. And it's like it's no like slight on him. Like you know, he just like into doing something else. You know, and you know when you've been in a band for a really long time, you know things are different. And like I think we all would have hoped we could have been playing together forever, but you know it's not the way things work out sometimes.
Right. I mean, and you guys. I mean, I don't know you guys so well that we've shared a bus and spent days together, but you guys seem to me to be everyone's got a head on their shoulders and no one's gonna, at least what I saw, be just go off the deep end because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in situations
in
like
some
that.
Years you can actually clone Dallas because of the DNA you probably have just of him. Somewhere.
Why didn't you call me, man?
Yeah. Why didn't you call up the Danko Jones?
I play guitar and I sing and I can do those melodies.
Or,
why didn't you call me?
I didn't know the shit was going down. It was just whispered that it might happen or things were going, so I didn't want to rock the boat. But if you guys had given me a call, like, listen, Dallas is out, we want you in.
Or what about, there was that baby who had the chart hit about 17 years ago, Jordy. Well, now Jordy is probably about 20 years old, ready to get his sing on.
What about that smoking baby from Thailand?
Oh, yeah, you could have just got
him in.
The smoking, because he's going to have the husk, although you don't need husk.
Yeah, he could have replaced me.
Yeah.
That's what but I could have been there. I don't smoke. Should have known.
That's pretty much it. It's that, and then someone's
was
like,
rah,
rah, rah, rah, and you're like, wah, 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 wah.
I was about to hit, oh, I can't even remember what it's a song. Should have known better than a Peter friend. Oh, that's Wham. Sorry, that was the first thing in my head. Sorry.
It's like Alexa on Fire is like Wham with distorted guitars.
I love Wham.
Yeah.
And that's a guilty pleasure, but it's not because I tell everybody
that
I love Wham.
You said that very unguiltily, and it's almost.
Fuck
yeah,
you.
It's
love
out
Wham.
There.
Yeah.
Planet Earth.
It's
deal with it.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I already fucking gave my cred with Jandek. I could say Wham. fuck everybody's just...
Whammer just Jandek with better production, in my opinion.
Everything's just Jandek with better production.
Pretty much. I'm really fascinated by the peaks and valleys of this particular...
Yeah, it's great.
...podcast we've done.
And are you liking the neighborhood that I live in more and more?
I love coming to... I mean, I don't have a lot of reasons to come to the Bridal Path, to your house.
Yeah.
But when I'm up here, I see the basketball players. I see that house that Prince rented and painted purple. Yep.
You live here in Casa Loma, and it's so nice. Casa Loma, this refurbished castle in Toronto. I can't believe it. You know, you've got the parapets are awesome.
You know, I'm excited to do the Mango Kids podcast. I thought, man, I can't wait to see the tapestries.
Oh, and such tapestries.
Such vivid tapestries.
And just in case anybody out there is wondering, they're taking the piss out of me right now.
There's frescoes on the wall and frescoes in the fridge, and that is the perfect place for me.
That's a wrap.
That's it. It's a job. It's a passion.